DW.
Love is in the air, everywhere I look around. Love is in the air, every sight and every sound.
Love is in the air in South Africa. It's summer, the heat is sweltering, the beaches are packed. And Cape Town is the place to be, not just for tourists. The city at the Cape of Good Hope is teeming with couples holding hands, going to al fresco restaurants, and taking romantic walks along the seafront. Among them are two 19-year-old lovebirds, Gabby Herlin and Tsepo Chipu. They've been dating for 2 years and recently moved in together to study at the University of Cape Town. Gabby is a white South African, Tsepo is black. Their interracial relationship still draws some attention in public, even 25 years after the end of apartheid.
Well, I think whenever we go out, let's say it's like a nice restaurant, and most of the time it's a lot of white people, so you walk in and you do get quite a few looks, but then after some time you get over it, and they go get over it, and just you have your dinner, you sit down, have a good time.
You do notice people that like check us out or whatever, but I think like, I mean, it's almost been 2 years, so you know, it's kind of, I'm so used to it.
Tsepo and Gabby say they often get stares and reactions from others, and not just in public.
Well, my family are obviously a bit shook, I guess. Because they're like, oh, bringing home a white girl. At the moment, that's kind of what is expected. You know, if you bring home someone of a different race, it's, you know, something to think about. Like, oh, okay, now we have to, you know, suss it out.
Gabby takes a slightly more laid-back approach, while acknowledging that older generations growing up under apartheid might still have their reservations.
You know, like, it's become more of a common thing and, like, less weird, and I don't know, I think my parents' generation, it was a bit more different, and definitely my grandparents' generation, but I feel like it's super cool.
Tsepo and Gabby are part of the so-called Born Free generation, young South Africans born after 1994, the year that Nelson Mandela was elected president, ending decades of racial segregation, discrimination, and violence.
How was that even a thing? Like, how did people... Like, that mindset and everything, like, it's very hard for me to relate to that.
Gabby and Tsepo aren't the only ones who find the very concept of racial segregation difficult to grasp. As a young interracial couple, they didn't witness the apartheid era for themselves and only know about its horrors through history books and stories from family members. During apartheid, dating or marrying across racial lines was unthinkable and banned by law. Today, couples like Gabby and Tsepo are proof that South Africa is slowly overcoming some of its darkest chapters. But interracial dating is happening among other generations as well, thanks in no small part to leaders like Nelson Mandela and Anglican Bishop Desmond Tutu, emphasizing their message of establishing a rainbow nation. 37-year-old Kirstie van Gogh is a project manager for an initiative that promotes child literacy across Africa. She often finds herself the only white woman in a room full of business executives of color. In her private life, she is also used to being a bit of an outsider surrounded by a different culture. Kirstie has dated several black men and has befriended their families during those relationships. She says that the majority of negative responses that she has received about her love life have not come from those people of color, but from white people, in particular, men.
I sometimes have this impression from some white guys my age. They're almost disparaging about it, and it's almost like, oh, well, you dating black guys because you can't get a white guy, which is so offensive on so many levels. But I kind of think it's like a weird insecurity. That's part of the problem in South Africa. There's like this insecurity amongst white men.
Kirstie says that, much to her dismay, race still plays a big role in most areas of life, not just dating, and thinks that many among the white community in South Africa feel threatened by the rise of black people in leadership roles and positions of authority. She wants to see real change in her country and to reach a point where race no longer matters. However, she also stresses that to her, it is just as important to not be colorblind as it is to stamp out that lingering racism.
If I, as a white person, am not seeing color, it's like saying, I'm not seeing your experience. I'm not seeing the kind of things you face up to every day. By saying, I don't see color, you're not mindful of saying negative things.
As a black man, Tsepo Chipu also thinks that recognizing color is still important in order to understand the racial tensions that remain part of the conversation in South Africa today.
Whenever we are with our friends or with anybody, I think the most important thing is also to recognize like race, not try to not see color in some way. So it's like important to say, okay, I'm black, you are white, yeah. You know, it's like it almost makes everyone feel more comfortable to talk about race and like ask questions.
Paula Quincy agrees. She is a relationship coach and author who works closely with interracial couples to help resolve their problems. She believes that any couple can overcome their challenges, but that interracial love often comes with its own kinds of trials and tribulations.
We are still a fairly new country when it comes to interracial couples. When you come to specifically things like interracial couples or where there's different cultures, it just adds another layer of complexity because you are going to have external factors where people outside of your relationship don't necessarily know what you know. They don't understand your dynamics. They don't understand what's going on in your life and what brought you together in the first place. But if the couple is willing to work through it, if they're willing to meet each other in the middle ground, there's no reason why they can't be a success together.
However, Quincy says that the bigger issue behind South Africa's ongoing race problems is an overall culture of judgment and discrimination in all areas of life.
Because of the legacy in South Africa, the apartheid era and all of that, there is a lot of judgment that still takes place. People are sometimes quick to jump onto the race bandwagon and racism. But if you look in the dictionary in terms of the definition of racism, racism does not talk about black or white. It talks about discrimination. And we discriminate in every different possible way that you can think of against other people. We discriminate against age, skills, culture, values, belief, gender. But there's a whole lot of ways that we discriminate, and it's not only in our personal lives, it's in the workplace as well.
Discrimination is something that Undine Zumpe has thought a lot about. She's a 50-year-old event manager from Germany who splits her time between Cape Town and Frankfurt. Undine was married to a black man of Senegalese origin for 6 years. They lived in Cape Town and built up a business from scratch. Undine says that race was never an issue for them.
I feel that racism is often used as an excuse when people fail to solve real problems. It almost serves as a distraction from the real problems.
That is not to say that she doesn't recognize the differences between her and her husband Kabu.
We were very different people. We had different religions. There was an age gap of 6 years between us. I studied at university twice. The main theme of my life had always been amassing more and more knowledge. But Kabu, he was someone who trusted his intuition. And as pathetic as it may sound, the only way we managed to consolidate these differences was through love, a great deal of love.
Darf ich jetzt mal so pathetisch sagen, haben wir nur durch sehr viel Liebe geschafft.
But Undine's love story is truly heartbreaking. She lost her husband Kabu in 2016 under tragic circumstances.
Kabu ist so abrupt und so plötzlich und so unerwartet gestorben.
Kabu's death was really abrupt, sudden and unexpected. When Kabu died, it felt as if the world had stopped spinning. He got appendicitis and didn't receive the kind of treatment he needed. He spent a week in public hospital here in South Africa. He was treated by three different doctors, and each one failed to diagnose his condition. That's just how bad the public health system is.
She says that many of her husband's family and friends in Cape Town believe there was more to it than that.
His Senegalese community certainly believes that there was an element of racism involved as well. They put him right at the bottom of the waiting list for surgery because he was Senegalese. Well, that's what his community believes.
But Undine rejects such beliefs and rather chooses to focus on the wonderful times they shared.
We had a great life. We always were grateful for what we had together. We were blessed with such abundance. We had this incredible love for each other. There was plenty of money. We had so many plans. We had such a sweet life. We were in good health and we were having a good time. It was perfect.
Her positive attitude sounds like a page straight out of relationship expert Paula Quincy's book.
But that sense of closeness and being and knowing that someone is there for you and cares about you and vice versa, I think is the basic foundation in any relationship. Because at the end of the day, you are living your relationship. No one else is. It's what's important to the two of you. That's what counts.
Sertan Sanderson, DW, Cape Town.
DW.